Amen and amen and amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight for just a little while. And if you have your Bibles tonight, open them to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, just for a couple of verses. And then we will go from there and see what the Lord wants to say to us tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And then the rest of the psalm begins to list them in, I believe, an order of importance, because it starts out with the forgiveness of all of our iniquity. And then it goes into the healing. Amen. One thing I want to bring out, we don't need to read all of that necessarily, but we need to understand that healing is not some New Testament Pentecostal pet doctrine. Amen. He was named the great physician in the Old Testament. He identified himself to Israel as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord thy physician, or the Lord that healeth thee. Can you say amen? And it was part of his great covenant with his covenant people. And that's why the Bible said, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church in any church, any gathering. Amen. We have relegated that to special people with special anointings. God never relegated it to special people with special anointings. He said, this belongs to the church. If there be any sick among you, the church, in any circumstance where two or more gathered in my name, what? There am I. In the midst of them, praise God, amen. Praise the Lord. So he said, let them call the elders, amen. You have a covenant privilege to have hands laid on you and have the prayer of faith prayed over you. Praise God, amen. So James 14 to me is just as authentic, verifiable, and justifiably applied to our life in the postmodern world that we're living in, as John 3:16. If we still preach John 3:16 as authentic, we should preach James 5:14 as just as authentic. It's from the same book. God put it together. He preserved it. Praise God for us. And it's our privilege as children of God to be prayed for when we are sick. Praise God. So that's a whole other message, and we'll preach that sometime. Hallelujah. If you'd like to hear it. I personally would, I love to hear the things that God has provided for me. Praise God. Amen. Let me read once again what William Law said. In light of these scriptures, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. He said, who is the greatest saint in the world? It's not he who prays or fasts most. It's not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart ready to praise God for it. The greatest saint is the one who sees God in everything and everywhere, who understands that circumstances are the fingerprints of God, and seeing him in the best and worst that life has to offer, gives thanks always in all things. Can you say amen? I mean, no, that's biblical to make this statement tonight. In everything, give thanks. And for all things, give thanks. Praise God. So in this great sermon on Psalm 103, Clovis Chapel says that on the west coast of England, there is a grave of a man who was much loved by all who knew him. When he died, these words are inscribed on his headstone. Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus. How in the world did he earn having that inscribed by all who knew him on his gravestone? Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus. You see, mumbling, grumbling, complaining Christianity obviously are not satisfied with Jesus. Amen. He must have been a man who didn't murmur. He must have been a man who, in whatever state he was in, like Paul said, having Christ's promise to never leave him and to always be with him, he said, in whatever state I'm in, I've learned therewith to be content. Bible said we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out of this world. But godliness with what? Contentment is what? Great gain. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in the Old Testament said, my son, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go thou after them. If you're following the world's value system, then your house is never going to be good enough. Amen. This lady right here has got a good house. She's been up on the roof. Amen. Putting on shingles. Next time you need shingles put on your roof, you do not have to hire a roofer. This lady right here, she's my hero and my wife's hero. My wife's hero because she kills snakes. Amen. She treads on serpents out at her house. Praise God. Amen. You're the boss of that place, aren't you? Yeah, she's the boss lady. Hallelujah. She's my hero because she puts on shingles. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You and Bob Vila, have you ever thought about getting... it's just a thought. I don't know if he's married or single. Just a thought. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A man, listen to this. Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus. Why should that stand out? Shouldn't every child of God be filled with gratitude no matter what is happening in our life? It doesn't change what Jesus has done at the cross. Isn't Jesus enough? Isn't what he did at the cross enough to give us a reason? Listen, bless the Lord, O my soul, for what benefit? Who forgives all of thine iniquity. When we don't see sin as a big deal, then it's not such a big deal that he died to forgive our sins. But if we understand, amen, the real consequences of our sin and where we would have been. I love that song that says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then and show me where you took me from and where I might have been, literally where I would have been. Can you say amen? Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The greatest buffer against the tempter, tempting our flesh, is being totally satisfied in our spiritual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Godliness with contentment is the true riches. Say it with me. Is the true riches. It has to be. Because other things that come into that. But that's one of the things that makes us truly rich tonight, no matter what's in your bank account. Paul said, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. And I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Why? Because he saw the fingerprints of God in every circumstance of his life. God did not forsake him when they bent him over a whipping post. If he interpreted himself as being forsaken of God when they did that on five occasions, you would have never heard any more from the Apostle Paul. Can you say amen? But he did not interpret that. In fact, he literally stood up in the face of his trials and tests and said, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ? And then he went through this whole litany of circumstances and trials and tests and persecutions and said, I'm persuaded there's nothing coming, nothing in the past, angels, devils, or any other thing will ever separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And a contented heart is always filled with gratitude to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. I still like the sign. They put it up every year because it works so well. It makes such an impression. Amen. Only turkeys don't give thanks. That's at the Lutheran Church in Plant City. Let's talk about the importance of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving before the Lord is not an option. Amen. It's not something we decide, we get up, see how we feel, and see if we're going to show gratitude. It's an imperative. Amen. Listen to it carefully. I'm just going to read a few scriptures. You can just mark them down. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Amen. Everybody say, there it is. Present your request to God. When I say thanksgiving, you say there it is, okay? I want you to get it tonight. Ephesians 5:4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks. There it is again. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, listen to it. Romans 1:21, which we're going to go back to later. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be ye thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Titus, that was 1 Timothy 2:1. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. If you're going to pray, you do it with thanksgiving. If you're going to live for God, you do it with thanksgiving. If you're going to pray for somebody else, you do it with thanksgiving. Amen. Everything, literally everything, is encapsulated around thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Thank you. A greatly grateful heart will lead to perpetual praise. This is the only way to keep this scripture. David was developing and cultivating a greatly grateful heart. Listen to Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that incredible? Amen. You ever tried that? You ever tried that one scripture on for size? Going through 30 days. I mean, 30, you know, we've had the 30 day of purpose, and we've had the this and that and the other. Well, why don't you try 30 days of not letting any corrupt communication come out of your mouth? Amen. You want to grow up in the Lord? You want a real test to come? You want to see how committed you are and dedicated you are? Amen. Try 30 days bridling this. And say, if I can't praise God, I won't say anything. But I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm going to praise Him. Praise God. Amen. I will. How consistently did you praise Him? All the time. We praise Him generally, and we all know this. We went through this morning. We're just reviewing tonight. Generally, we praise Him when we're having our victory days, and we don't praise Him when things are going wrong. And when we need to really praise Him the most is when the things are going wrong. Well, I mean, we need to praise Him all the time, but especially when things are going wrong. Praise is the language of faith. Amen? At midnight, things were going wrong. They were not just in stocks in a Roman jail at midnight. They were being held over till the next day so they could be killed. And it wasn't time for them to lay down their life and seal their testimony as a martyr's death. There was a time for that. It wasn't time for that. But Satan wanted to destroy them. And they were being held over. And there was no one pleading their case. There was no super attorney on the scene. Can you say, Matt? But at midnight, the Bible said they, Paul and Silas in the Roman jail, they prayed. Is that all they did? You know, a lot of times you pray a prayer of complaint. You don't realize it, but if you don't seal it with praise, you're just stating your complaint. Lord, I mean, you can hear it. I remember I told you about the old record that we used to have, 78 RPM, that I used to go up on my grandma's Victrola that somebody stole. Oh, I wish I had it back because it was so much fun. I had the Carter family. I mean, Maybell, Mama Maybell Carter. I mean, and that stuff sounded real, you know, it sounded real tinny. It was you forget your stereophonic stuff. This was just coming off that 78 RPM record. And I remember there was one I used to play over and over, and it was called The Preacher and the Bear. Amen. And the whole, it was a story in song about a preacher who loved to hunt so much, he skipped church on Sunday to go hunting. And he got out there hunting deer, and a bear come out, and he got so scared he dropped his rifle and shotgun, whatever he had, he dropped it and climbed a tree to get away from the bear. And then he realized it would be very difficult for him to pray for God's blessing, seeing how he's supposed to be in church, and he was out hunting on the Lord's day. Amen. So that hit him between the eyes, you know. So he began to sing, Lord, and I still don't remember it all. I wished I had it back. Lord, you delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel from the lion's den. And he went through this whole litany of people that had been delivered, but he couldn't ask for deliverance for himself. And he said, but he went through this whole litany of people that God delivered in song. And he said, the good book do declare. So Lord, if you don't help me, for goodness sakes, don't you help that bear. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I thought that was a pretty good song for a man under conviction. Lord, if you don't help me, for goodness sake, don't you help that bear. Amen. Well, that brings me to this humorous story. And this is fitting. A lot of people don't know a lot about praying like they ought to. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted, oh, by the way, ignoring the no trespassing sign. Ignoring the no trespassing sign. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they wouldn't make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, put up a prayer, John. We're in for it. John answered, I can't. I never made a public prayer in my life. But you must, implored his companion. The bull is catching up to us. All right, panted John. I'll say the only prayer I know. One my father used to repeat at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly grateful. That's a common prayer, isn't it, at the table. For these gifts that we're about to receive, Lord, make us truly grateful. We have received a gift that has nothing to do with what's sitting on that table that ought to make us truly grateful every single day of our life. And it's the gift of God's Son who would go to a cross and hang there in our place. And when He is not central to our faith and we are hurt and we are let down and we are betrayed and people have hurt us and we have our circumstances closing in on us, we lose focus on the one who died on the cross. And when we lose focus of that, we lose that heart of gratitude and we simply can't bless the Lord at all times. We just bless Him at the times when it's convenient to us, when the circumstances are right around our life. Amen. So because of that, the deliverance is not consistent in our life. You really want God to come through for you? They prayed and sang praises to God. Everybody say they prayed and sang praises. Every prayer of petition should be followed up with a praise to God for His faithfulness, for the opportunity that you have been given through the blood of Jesus to come before that throne of grace. Can you say amen? Every prayer with, oh, I know the Lord's prayer doesn't have it. It don't need it. The biblical principle is throughout all of the Bible. Can you say amen? We shouldn't leave it open-ended. That's kind of saying after I say my amen, if you do this, if you come through, I'll praise you. No, you don't wait to see anything. You just praise Him. You praise Him for who He is. You praise Him for the privilege of approaching His throne. You praise Him for giving His Son for you. You praise Him that the only reason you can come to the throne is because it's a throne of grace. And you get mercy and grace before you get anything else from Him. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to come into God's throne room and present your needs before Him and to have Him bend down and listen. Thank Him. And don't just thank Him if He does what you're asking Him, but thank Him that He is now in control. He is in charge. And whatever he decides will be for your eternal good and his eternal glory. Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. How many would you like God to give you everything you want or to give you what he knows is best for you? Boy, that's a mouthful. See, you can't even pray in Jesus' name until you acquiesce to the Father's will. Amen. Jesus didn't do anything on his own. He said, the works are not mine. With all of this anointing, amen, I'm subject to the will of my Father. Amen. The works are not mine, but what I see my Father do. Amen. We serve a sovereign God. Can you say amen? Come on, church. If you don't blend that in with the faith message, you're going to try to use your faith inordinately. And God doesn't want us to do that. We serve a sovereign God. Can you say amen? I prayed prayers that got answered like that. And I prayed other prayers that got answered like that. Problem is, one was yes and the other was no. Amen? But I got answered like that. But most of the time when it's a no, I don't think I've got an answer. Because I think the only answer is what I've asked for. How many know God has a will? Amen. Faith doesn't make God do anything. Faith doesn't twist his arm. Can you imagine a 3-year-old coming up to their daddy and twisting his arm in Walmart? Can you imagine a 3-year-old taking his daddy's arm? And his daddy said, oh, well, the 3-year-old takes him to the toy department. Can you say amen? I mean, that's ludicrous. And to think that that's just a little 3-year-old and a daddy. Can you imagine when we come into the throne of the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, and we start telling him what we and our faith have decided is best, and he's got to come through? No. He makes those. There's executive decisions that are in God's department. And we have to come to him. And I'm going to pray for my daddy's 90. And when he was in his 70s, he got double pneumonia in both lungs. They were flu season. They treated him for the flu and didn't even listen to his lungs because everybody had it. So they wrote him a scripture for the antibiotics, sent him home. 3 nights later, he was near death. And I had him in the emergency room of South Florida Baptist Hospital. And they'd come out and told me his heart is weak. He's got pneumonia in both lungs, and they give me no real hope. They said it'll be 12 to 24 hours before we know if the antibiotics will even arrest any of this. So I went out under a street light, and I opened my Bible, pulled my car under a street light, and opened my Bible in the parking lot, and I prayed for my daddy. I said, listen, but when I prayed for my daddy, I had to give him to God. I couldn't just have what I wanted, but I did. I said, Lord, if it's your will to receive my daddy home, give me the grace to let him go. But I want you to know that I want to keep him a while longer. I'd love to have my daddy around for a while. And Lord, I know you're able. See, a real prayer of faith is like the 3 Hebrew children pray. If you want to get into faith, there's faith. If you're afraid that God might not give you what you're believing for, then there's a fear element in your faith. If you can't trust him with everything and with everyone, amen, then that's not authentic faith. You want to hear how authentic faith works? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego is standing before the fiery furnace. Here's how they'll tell you it works today. Because we got a lot of guys out there and gals too that think you can manipulate God with your faith so everything is convenient in your life. That's baloney. It never has worked that way. Amen? It's impossible, but that offenses are going to come to us. But the Bible said, woe be to them through whom they come. God will judge that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego commanded to worship the idol that the king had put up when they heard the sound of the music or be thrown into a fiery furnace. They did not bow when everybody else bowed, so they gave them one more chance. And to intimidate them and to the king wanted them to understand his seriousness, they heated it 7 times hotter than it was. And they said, now you either bow or you burn. And this is how they answered. They said, the God that we serve is able to deliver us. Now, here's where it stops. That's where it stops in the modern day approach. That's where it stops. The God we serve is able to deliver us. Hallelujah. You can't put us in there. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm holding fast my confession of faith without wavering. You couldn't kill us if you tried. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's baloney. You don't even need dedication to God to pray that prayer. All you have to do is be dedicated to your hide. Can you say amen? How did they pray? How did they pray? They said up front, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from your hand, O King. Whether he does or whether he does not. In other words, if we seal our testimony with our life, he's still God and we will not bow to a false idol. Amen. You know what Paul said? He echoed those same words. He said, if I live to the Lord. If I die, I die to the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. Can you say amen? Wow. Isn't that incredible faith that actually, truly commits it to God's hands? Amen? Isn't that incredible faith? Man has always wanted to be in charge. That's what causes all our problems with God. We want to be in charge. And there's a message out there that literally puts you in charge, that calls you little gods. One man was saying that he could send angels. He was commissioning his angels. Now he is directing angels. I don't read anywhere where people tell angels what to do. They minister on our behalf, but they get their orders from somewhere else. Amen? How many know taxi cab comes to pick you up, but the dispatcher tells them where your address is? Amen? So this guy was saying, he told his angels to go out and bring him riches. And you need to tell your angels to go bring you riches. And I'm listening to this fella, and I said, where's he getting that? What book is he reading? Because he's not reading that book. Can you say, man? And then I begin to think. I use a lot of logic in this thing, as much as I have. I said, well, if he can tell angels to go bring him riches, why is he writing me letters? Why is he using the United States Post Office and a computer mailing list? Amen? Why am I getting this letter? Why is he stating this crisis need? Why don't he just tell those angels to go bring the riches in? In true authentic faith, there is a bowing to the sovereign will of God. Amen? And if that bowing doesn't take place, we're going to pray to consume it on ourselves. And it doesn't matter how positive we are that it's God. If God doesn't come through, we're either going to shake our fist at heaven or secretly in our heart, we're going to have a problem with him, or we're going to question our own faith or question his faithfulness. And a lot of times it's neither his faithfulness or our faith. Amen. It's his sovereign will. Amen. There's a time to be born. And there's a time to die. And when it's time to die, you don't use your faith to try to keep living. You use your faith to say, thank you, Lord, that death doesn't end this. Amen? Amen? C.A. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody was dying. He was on his deathbed dying. He had been in a kind of like a coma, but he woke up and became lucid. A lot of times people become lucid before they die. Prayed for your husband. He became very lucid when we prayed the sinner's prayer before he went home. Hallelujah. Amen. And D.O. Moody had one of the things he said that I loved. They had back in, this is flu season, and thank the Lord. Amen. Kayla has had the swine flu. And she come right through it, praise God. When I saw her again, she was not quite as jumping as high, but she was the same old Kayla. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God took good care of her, took her through. She don't need a shot. She's got immunity. Praise God. Can you say amen? And everything is okay now. So don't be afraid if she comes up to you. She's out of the woods, no fever. Everything's okie dokie. Amen. God has done so much, amen, in her life and in her family's life. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me carefully. When we bow before the Lord and we pray out of a heart that wants his will to be done, then we can actually come to the place of discovering his will. And the only way you will ever discover His will for your life is to totally surrender, no matter which way it goes. Can you say amen? D.L. Moody had lost 2 children to the flu. Back in those days, they didn't have the antibiotics. They didn't have the oxygen to give. They didn't have the penicillin. So if you got pneumonia, you got a bad flu, it would kill you. You go to a lot of cemeteries up in the mountains and back in those areas. You see a whole bunch of children and babies. And when they lost their 2 grandchildren to the flu, it broke their hearts. And they carried the pain of that loss. They kept trusting God, but they carried the pain of that loss. And when D.L. Moody became lucid, here's something he said to his wife. He said, "Honey, I've been to the city and I've seen the children." Wow. Death, where's your sting now? Grave, where's your victory now? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How short this life is. How long eternity is going to be. Death is conquered at the cross. Oh, how we need to be thankful for that great truth tonight. And then he slipped back into a coma and he woke up one last time. And when he woke up, he heard all these people that loved him, that thought God wanted to leave him here longer. They were all praying for him to live. And he spoke in a strong voice and said, "Don't pray for me to stay. This is my coronation day. This is when I get my crown." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Paul said, and they were, I'm sure they were interceding for Paul like they were interceding for him when he was in that jail before. But it was time. And he knew it was time. And in the sovereign will of God, God dropped it in his heart. It's time. Hallelujah. So he said, "The time of my departure is at hand. And because it's time and the devil's not taking me out, God is calling me home." There's a difference. Can you say amen? Time of my departure at hand, I'm ready to be offered up. That word offered up is the term that was used in the Old Testament connotation of it. It was the drink offering that was poured out to the last drop before the Lord. He said, "I've lived my life pouring out before the Lord, and I'm going to be poured out to the last breath, the last drop. I'm ready to be made an offering before the Lord." Hallelujah. The time of my departure is at hand. Hallelujah. Not my demise, but my departure. Can you? He's the one that said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Everybody say instant death, instant glory. Say it with me again. Instant death, instant glory. Say it again. Instant death, instant glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There will come a time when I'll pray for my daddy, and the Lord will say, "It's time for him to come home." And he will ignore my faith at that point, because my faith has to then acquiesce to his will, not just demand what I want. In fact, let me tell you something about faith, and this is going to be controversial. I've been controversial all my life, so I'm not supposed to go ahead, but I'm biblically supported in my controversialness. Faith allows the predetermined will of God to be done. Amen? Faith, you don't chart your own. Oh, there's a preacher on too. Amazing guy. He's amazing. Everybody knows him in Miami because they know what kind of drinks that he orders. And when he comes in to get his drinks, they go ahead and pour his particular cocktail. But he's on television. And he had this whole series of tapes on how to chart your own course. Isn't that an incredible tape set? Wouldn't it be great to think that I can? It's really not, because that puts you in control. And if you're in control, God's not leading you anymore. And if you're driving the bus and it turns over, amen, you're the one, it's your bad. Can you say amen? It's not God's. But if God is sitting in the driver's seat, number one, it ain't going to turn over. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's going to take you through. I don't want the steering wheel. I don't even want to sit in the back seat and tell him how to drive. Can you say amen? I want to ride in the trunk where I won't even be tempted to tell him how to drive. Amen? Lord, put me in the trunk. You take the wheel, and everything's going to be okay. Don't let me nowhere near the cab, near the steering wheel. Keep me out of it so your will can be done in earth like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm convinced that Father knows best. You didn't hear me tonight. I am convinced that Father knows best. I'm convinced that all things, I mean all of it, works together for good to them that what? Love Him enough to acquiesce to Him. Love Him enough to trust Him with everything. Love Him enough to say, not mine, but thine be done. That love Him. And are the called according to what? That predetermined His purpose. And if you don't think it's predetermined, listen to this. The next verse says in verse 29 of Romans 8, amen, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. Can you say amen? And Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. He that suffered in the flesh, that's crucified the flesh, has ceased from living His life to the will of the flesh and continuing in that vicious cycle of sin and death. Amen? But you got to be dedicated. And you got to say, Lord, I want Your will more than I want my way. Commit Thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. You don't trust Him to get your way. You trust Him enough to let Him choose your way. Amen. When you commit your way, you commit your life, the whole of it. The A to Z and all the in-between to Him. Can you say amen? And trust that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And if it takes you to persecution for His name's sake, amen, you pray for the grace to endure it, not escape it. Thank you for the hearty amens. As long as there's a fourth man in the fire, I'm not afraid. How about you? Can you say amen? The one who said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Praise God. Amen. And whether if we perish, we perish. You would have never heard of Ruth. Not this Ruth, but the other Ruth. If she hadn't said, if I perish, I perish. Can you say amen? The commitment has to be that deep and that strong. The gospel would have never got out of town if those people had tried to manipulate life to their own terms. And the preachers that accuse those dedicated men and women of not using their faith properly. Amen. I wouldn't want to answer to God for what they're preaching and teaching on that day. Can you say amen? What kind of pride is it? But anyway, I heard this preacher saying, how to chart your own course. Incredible message he was preaching. That you can take your faith and you can get a dream in your heart, and you can put your faith out into the invisible world and take hold of everything that your heart desires out of that invisible world and make it manifest in the physical world. How to chart your own course. From day one, that was the problem. God said you can eat of any tree you want, you can't touch that one. And all man had to do was say, I'm not going to do that. Under any circumstances, I will not do that. But he decided to go his way. When the Bible speaks of turning from our evil way in order to see a revival, not just praying for the land, but praying for the church, every way that is not acquiesced to God becomes evil in this sense, that we are operating or trying to operate independent from Him. Have you ever had a backseat driver? Maybe you don't have the wheel. Maybe you have actually moved to the back seat. You're growing in God. And you're sitting in the back seat saying, turn left up here at the next sign. Hey, watch out. There's a car coming over here. Oh, let's don't go that way. That road's too bumpy. Oh, let's don't go this way because there's no guardrails and it's too dangerous. Oh, let's stay on this highway. That's why I want to ride in the trunk. Can you say, man? I really want to ride in the trunk. Commit thy way unto the Lord, your life, where it takes you, where God wants you. Hallelujah. You see, you think he has a will and a plan for your life? Then it's not up to you to chart your course. It's up to you to discover his plan and cooperate with it. Amen? So that guy was preaching that, and the scripture just came to me out of the Old Testament. It's not within man that walketh to choose his own way. I looked at another translation of that, and guess what it said? It's not within man that walketh to chart his own course. Isn't that incredible? And here's a guy selling tape sets on how to do it when the Bible absolutely condemns it and forbids it. That's at the core of this message. That's what's wrong with it. It's more than a fly in an ointment. It's an elephant. Amen? And we're laughing tonight because it's ludicrous. But you know what is no laughing matter? That tens of thousands of charismatic Pentecostals are following these guys and gals. CNN News. A lady was interviewed who wrote a book. Or wrote a periodical for, I don't know, Time, Newsweek. One of these big periodicals. That Christians contributed to the collapse of the housing market. Christians that follow a particular doctrine, that you prove your faith by your possessions. I mean, they teach that. I started with Volkswagen Faith. I went to Ford Faith, and then I went to Buick Faith, and then I went to Cadillac Faith, then I went to Bentley Faith and Rolls-Royce Faith, and now I'm beyond Rolls-Royce. I could go to a car maker and have it custom made to my own liking. When they were criticized for multi-million-dollar salaries and said Billy Graham doesn't even get that much, they said if he wants to live that way, that's his bag, but it ain't mine. When they were confronted, and this guy teaches in his own televisions to tens of thousands, amen, when they confronted him with what happened to Paul and how it was time and how he sealed his testimony with his death, and they brought Paul up to him, he said Paul did not have to die early. He said Paul could have used his faith and lived to a ripe old age, but different strokes for different folks. So everybody that doesn't know anything about the sovereignty of God, the lordship of Jesus, and true devotion to him, get on that bandwagon, because they can chart their own course. They can manipulate life to their liking. They can have everything their way. What an incredible violation of all the Bible teaches. How to chart your own course. And it's not within man that walketh to choose his own way, literally to chart his own course. Well, who's got the plan if we don't? God does. Can you say amen? In fact, there's a time and a season for everything in his plan. There's a time to be born. How many know that you didn't get born before your time? And guess what else? There's a time to die. There's a time coming when somebody's going to pray for you, and it won't be the king's horses, but all the horses and all the men, can you say, man, are not going to put old Humpty together. There's going to be a time to lay this old body down, take up your robe and crown, and walk the golden streets with your Lord. That's not a defeat when that day comes. Can you say, man, that's a victory. Amen. I don't want to go before my time. I love my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my wife, my dogs. Love you folks, praise God. Amen. I don't want to go before my time. I got a lot of preaching I feel like left in me. But did you know something? Yeah, I got a lot left in me, praise God. Amen. I know it's fire shut up in my bones, praise God. I've got a lot I want to say about Jesus before I leave here. Still in my heart. But did you know something? You could hear. It could happen. If God says he's finished his course, guess what's going to happen? Somewhere between now and next Sunday, you're going to hear. You know, Brother Venable was out washing old Sophie. Amen. And he got himself into a lather and just keeled over. And he's a goner. Amen. But I want you to know I'll be gone from here, but I won't. And I'll be gone from this body, but I will not be gone. Praise God. I'll be in the presence of the Lord. And you can believe, amen, that the devil didn't take me before my time if I stay submitted to the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The devil tried to destroy Job, but God said, you can't take his life. Amen. That's in my department. There's a lot of things you're permitted to do, but this is something you can't do. Amen. Satan turns up the heat. But God controls. Where is it, folks? I know we got one. It's behind this plant, so y'all can't mess with it. I shouldn't have told you where it was. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan turns up the heat, but God controls the thermostat. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. No temptation has to come upon you but that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted at all. No, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. Who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Can you say amen? God is in charge. God is in control. And God is faithful, and you can trust him. They told Paul, bonds and afflictions await you in Jerusalem. The prophet told him a truth, and his interpretation of that was vital to whether or not he followed God's plan for his life. The prophet thought he was warning him to steer clear, because the only enlightenment the prophet had was that when you go to Jerusalem, they're going to jump on you with both feet. They're going to try to hurt you, try to kill you. If you go to Jerusalem, the prophet thought he was giving him a warning so he could don't go to Jerusalem. Paul knew that this was a confirmation of what was going to happen, so he wouldn't be shocked when there was some persecution when he got there. How many know the prophet only knows what God shows him? You got to have something going on in your heart. You're never just steered by a prophet alone. The sons of God in the new covenant are led, not coerced, shoved, manhandled. They are led by the what? The Spirit of God. Can you say amen? And Paul was a child of the Most High God, and he knew God wanted him in Jerusalem, and he knew some rotten stuff was going to come on him down there, but he knew that God was going to use all of that to bring honor to his name, to strengthen the brethren, praise God, amen, to further the cause of the gospel. And he looked back at that prophet to explain to him, and this is what he said. The prophet said, bonds and afflictions await you at Jerusalem. And Paul said, I'm not only ready to be persecuted, I'm ready to lay down my life if that's what it takes, amen, to preach this gospel. Because he understood already, God is just confirming that when I get there, it's going to be tough. That's why Demas forsook him. Because he thought, if I hook up with Paul, I'm going to be associated with a mighty, anointed minister and ministry. And that's going to enhance my own credibility when they say, this is Paul's associate minister. But he found out that Paul didn't always stay in the Hyatt Regency. Then you say amen. Sometimes they put him in a dungeon in the ground. Amen. Listen to me. Sometimes they put him in chains. He found out that Paul didn't always hang out in suit shops looking over Armani's or looking at which Rolex he's going to get next to upgrade from his old $10,000 to his $25,000 diamond-encrusted Rolex. Somebody asked me the other day, Brother Venable, if someone gave you a $25,000 Rolex, would you wear it? I said, no, I'd put that sucker on eBay and get me a Dodge Dakota. I need a truck. I got a watch right here. Amen? What do I... Hey, they'll kill you for a $25,000 Rolex. They'll mug you and take your watch off of you. They can't get it off, they'll cut your arm off and take it with it. Feed it to the dog and then take the watch. Can you say amen? What are we trying to prove? Who are we trying to kid? Godliness. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I won't fear what man can do unto me. We brought nothing into this world. Newsflash. We're not going to take anything out of this world. But while we're in this world, godliness with what? Contentment is what? Great gain. That's when you're really rich. You know why? I love this statement. It's not biblical, but it's not a scripture, but it's biblically supported. He is richest who has fewest wants. Amen? Be content with what? Wait a minute. I thought God said, you better be discontent until you have it all, because you can't glorify me till you've got it all. No, that's not what he said. He said, be content with such things as you have. In fact, he said, do you have food? How many have food? Do you have raiment? Amen. How many know that we don't have to? I don't even know where this came from. This is, yeah, G, is that what that says? GW. Glory wear. Glory wear. No, actually it says John Clendenin. John Clendenin. Now see, John Clendenin don't mean anything to me and most people. But if it said Armani, if the tag said, I think it fits me good. John's coat fits me good. What do you think? Amen? Fits me to a T. But if it said Armani on the inside, then it would say, I have arrived. I am able to go in and get me an expensive Italian suit tailor-made to me. I'm wearing Armani. This watch, I don't have my glasses, and I forgot. I've got two watches, and that confuses me. Which what does that one say? He had to put on his glasses, I see. He can't even read it with his glasses on. Waltham. 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 This is a Waltham watch. It has the correct time. It did not cost me an arm and a leg. Amen? It really didn't. There's no pastor going to see me at a pastor's conference with my Waltham watch and say, wow, he is in a highly successful church. Can you say amen? Amen? Why do we have to make a statement? What are we trying to prove? How unspiritual we are, how earthbound we are, how materialistic we have become in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching poverty. God has taken good care of me. I have food and raiment. I have shelter over my head. I have central air in my home. I push a button and it just, you know, it brings the temperature down and dehumidifies the air. Oh, hallelujah, how blessed I am. I've been down in Haiti where there's no button to push. Can you say amen? No electric fan either. Amen. Listen to me. I've got clean water coming out of my faucet. I don't have to worry about Montezuma's revenge or anybody else's. Can you say amen? Amen? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I feel blessed. Praise God. My house, before I made the garage an apartment, is 1,250 feet. I have often thought what it would be like if we built a sanctuary and this became the parsonage. I'd wake up one morning and say, where am I? Amen. Where is this? Amen. Where's Pamela? Pamela, where are you? Now I just say, Pamela, she hears me. 1,250 square feet, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, closet's about that wide. You should see what's under the bed. Can you say amen? Shoved under the bed in every other little nook and cranny. We got 3 sheds, to tell you the truth. 3 sheds. They're all full and running over with stuff because we're pack rats. We was poor before we got so rich. Can you say amen? And so we don't let nothing go. You got an old coffee maker? Keep that sucker. Amen. Somebody give you a new one, put that one in the shed. If the new one breaks down, you can get that one out of the shed. We're ready for hard times. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. I got an old coffee maker just waiting on me. If that one goes, I'll get the other one. Hallelujah. We got mason jars. We got all kind of stuff we need to get rid of. Godliness with contentment. I get up in the morning and thank God. Because I have Jesus. I have eternal life. I have His promise to never leave me nor forsake me. He clothes me. He feeds me. He cares for me. He helps me meet my obligations and helps me pay my bills. I don't need something else to be happy. I'm not telling you that I don't need more room in my closet. And Pamela sure needs room for her shoes. But we're not, we don't get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm believing you for this great mansion. Oh, Lord, I can never be accepted among my peers as a man of God who is spiritual bone. I will be considered Volkswagen faith, S10 pickup faith. Amen. I cannot be accepted among my peers. The pressure is on. And you know what Christians did? There's a man I worked with. Is it possible to cut the tape right now and just say, Lord, we close this in the name of Jesus for just a few moments?